Welcome to Rights Watch, a program about human rights around the world from Human Rights Watch. I'm Jessie Graham. There's been promising news from Burma lately. The country's military government released some political prisoners and seems to have loosened some control on the media. Longtime dissident Aung San Suu Kyi is out of house arrest, and she says she's stepping back into politics. Hillary Clinton is set to visit the country, known as Myanmar, in early December. She'll be the first U.S. Secretary of State to visit Burma in 50 years. Dave Matheson is the Burma researcher for Human Rights Watch, and he's on the line with us from Thailand. Dave, tell us about the changes you're seeing. Are there real changes happening in Burma right now?
There are real changes happening in Burma right now. In the past several months, we've seen some quite remarkable promises on the part of the new government to respect democracy and human rights and promising legislative reform. And we've seen the new parliament passing a number of very important bills in terms of forming trade unions and freedom of assembly. And the landscape has changed quite significantly. However, all these promises of reform on the part of the new government have yet to translate into demonstrable improvements in the human rights landscape. Burma still has some very serious human rights issues that the government has promised in very vague terms to address, but in reality has done very little to actually improve the situation of human rights for the majority of the people.
One way you can see some changes as an outsider is through the media. What are you seeing in the media there? I understand that it's been...
There has been quite a marked shift in media freedoms inside the country in the past several months. Burma has always had a very robust media, but it's been really suppressed by a system of state censorship. And a lot of those controls have been lifted in the past several months, which is quite encouraging. So many issues that the media was not permitted to discuss or to cover, in, for example, the democracy leader, Aung San Suu Kyi, she is now covered in the state media. Her photo is covered. She's been allowed to publish op-eds. Many exiled dissidents have been allowed to publish stories and been interviewed in the state-run media and in the private media. And so the coverage of a lot of issues in terms of environmental issues, political issues, really has changed quite remarkably. And I think that's testament to just how strong a lot of the Burmese journalists and many media outlets in the country really are. There are still limits to that, though. There is still a reluctance on the part of the government to permit reporting on serious crimes by the military, by high-level corruption. So although it's very, very encouraging the way that the media is going, there is still a long way to go.
You mentioned just the photograph of Aung San Suu Kyi would have been controversial in the past, and I imagine it is still controversial in some way. What does that say about the human rights situation in the country?
The fact that Aung San Suu Kyi was released just about a year ago and everyone was very happy for her release, I think that no one really expected that she would have risen this far to the level of national prominence being allowed by the government as she has. I mean, just recently, the National League for Democracy, her party, announced that they would formally re-register as a political party, something that they had been loath to do for many years. And Aung San Suu Kyi has indicated that she would be willing to run as a candidate in a by-election in the coming months. This is really quite remarkable. I mean, she has been meeting senior government officials, including the president, President Thein Sein, a few months ago, and she's been allowed to travel to some parts of the country without the kind of attacks and vitriol and abuse that we've seen in the past 20 years. So I think the fact that Aung San Suu Kyi has been allowed to rise to this issue of national prominence is one of the most important indicators of the reforms that we're seeing taking place in Burma.
Another indicator, it seems, is that there is some talk of dialogue between the Burmese junta and ethnic minority groups. Is that right?
That's correct. The government has indicated that they're willing to seek peace deals with ethnic nationality groups and opposition groups. However, this is really at an early stage. And even though there have been some meetings taking place in the past several weeks, this is a long-standing conflict. It's the world's longest-running civil war. It's been going on for nearly 60 years. And these are just tentative openings. the most important thing to remember is that the conflict in large parts of eastern Burma and northern Burma are raging at the moment. And the Burmese military is still conducting quite brutal counterinsurgency operations in these areas, and civilians continue to be targeted and abused by the Burmese military. And that's equally applicable to the non-state armed groups that are fighting the central government. A lot of these groups have been complicit in some quite serious abuses in the past and in the present, and need to stop it. So while a lot of these indications are quite encouraging, it's still very early days.
And we have seen some release of political prisoners as well, but there are still a lot of people who are still in detention, correct?
During 2011, there have been two prisoner amnesties, and we believe out of what was previously an estimated 2,100 political prisoners, about 239 were released in those two amnesties. There were thousands of normal criminal prisoners that were released during those amnesties as well. But we believe that there are still an estimated 1,600 or so political prisoners in prison. And the government has really been using these people as forms of bartering chips for the international community. Now, many of these prisoners have been in and out of prison for the past 20 years. They've been calling for peaceful change, for democracy, for respect for human rights. And the fact that they're still incarcerated really is quite a damning indictment on the limitations of the government's reforms so far. And we would reiterate our call for the immediate and unconditional release of all these prisoners.
And Dave, we're talking about one of the most repressive regimes in the world. Even if things were really to shift, if there was no longer a military government, if it was very clear that the government was interested in real commitment to human rights, what state would Burma be in terms of civil society, in terms of people being able to sort of claim their rights there?
Well, that's the hardest question, I think. Even though the government has indicated that it's willing to reform and has made a whole raft of quite encouraging promises, the big challenge is not making those promises. It's actually implementing them and allowing average people to be involved in politics and to be involved in civil society initiatives. And even though there's large numbers of people in Burma that have been doing that, have been getting involved in addressing health and education issues and slowly getting involved in politics, the government has to make it very clear that this is a genuine change. That's part of the complex picture that we've got, that there has been a remarkable shift in the government's approach. And one would hope that it's very sincere and that they're moving down the right path. But the challenges ahead really are in how people exercise these promises of the freedoms in the future. Unfortunately, even though there's been quite significant legislative reform and the government's been enacting quite important bills, there are still a large number of quite repressive laws on the books. And you have a judiciary and a police force and a military that's still there, that's still dealing in the old ways of repression. And even though the government has indicated, the government's formed, led by former senior generals, and even though they've indicated that they're reforming, that will really be the ultimate test. If the government decides that it really needs to reform the judiciary, the security services and the military in order to really instill respect for human rights throughout Burma.
And what about the international community? How much impact has international pressure or regional pressure had on these reforms happening?
International pressure has been very important in letting the government know that their behavior is unacceptable and pushing them towards greater respect for human rights and democratization. And sanctions have played a certain role in that. But what we've seen this year is because of the indications that they're willing to chart a different course, there have been far more visits by Western and Asian interlocutors actually going to Burma and speaking to the government and trying to gauge their sincerity in reforming the country. And that's been encouraged, I think. Isolation will never work. But what a lot of international visitors have to do is really keep telling the government that our core concerns about the human rights situation have not been diluted in any way, that the international community has to stay the course on promoting human rights and accountability inside Burma.
And that applies to Hillary Clinton's upcoming visit as well.
Hillary Clinton's visit is quite important in terms of bilateral relationship. And I think Secretary of State Clinton can use the opportunity to really both gauge the extent of the reforms that we're seeing in Burma for herself, but also to impress upon the senior leadership of the government that the United States still has very serious concerns about ongoing human rights violations in the country. And that should be a priority as much as economic and political reforms.
And finally, Dave, what is life like for people in Burma right now? I mean, do people sort of feel a change in their everyday lives?
I think that really depends on who you're asking. If you're asking people in major cities that are involved in politics in some way or involved in civil society initiatives in some way, there's a sense of optimism and they're very encouraged by the signals that they're seeing from the government. I think many people still have concerns about how sincere a lot of these reforms are. They're certainly cognizant of the challenges ahead. I think for the majority of the people in the rest of the country, and many people in Burma live in rural areas or in ethnic areas, life really hasn't changed at all. You know, Burma is still a poverty-stricken society. It's still a very repressive society. And in large parts of the country, there's still an ongoing low-intensity civil war, which adversely impacts on people's livelihoods, on their security, and on their hopes for the future. So I think we need to understand that as encouraging as these reforms are, for the majority of people inside the country, the situation hasn't improved at all. And that's something that the government has to realize, that their promises of reform really need to extend to average people throughout the country. And that's going to be the long, hard road ahead.
That was Dave Matheson, Burma researcher at Human Rights Watch. And that's Rights Watch for today. Human Rights Watch is an independent organization dedicated to defending and protecting human rights around the world. For more about us, including audio, video, and multimedia features, please visit hrw.org. Thanks for listening to Rights Watch. I'm Jesse Graham.